Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Diocese of Raphoe has acknowledged the publication of the scoping inquiry into reported historical sexual abuse at schools run by religious orders. A potential tragedy has been averted in Donegal after refuge collectors discovered a man sleeping in an industrial bin. The director of Derry's Holywell Trust says a report on the economy of the Northwest City region can play a major role in ensuring the debate on the future of Northern Ireland is informed by facts. And we'll hear from the mother of a young Donegal man with autism and cerebral palsy who started college this week and has been left without specialised HSE bus transportation. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, the Diocese of Raphoe has today acknowledged the publication of the scoping inquiry into reported historical sexual abuse at schools run by religious orders. The inquiry, which involved over 2,400 allegations against 884 alleged abusers at more than 300 schools, named St. Louis Girls Convent National School in Bundoran and De La Salle Secondary School in Ballyshannon, among the institutions implicated. Additionally, Skullcollumkill and Letterkenny was mentioned in an appendix detailing three allegations and two abusers. In a statement, the Diocese of Raphoe today says the report leaves everyone who reads it with a deep sense of dismay and indeed disgust at what was endured by so many children and young people. The Diocese says it will cooperate with the Commission of Investigation should any of its schools be included. There are now calls for Church of Ireland schools to also be included in the state investigation. Founder of One in Four, Colm O'Gorman, says any statutory inquiry should include all state-funded schools.
The scoping process only looked at schools that were run by Catholic Church religious congregations. It didn't look at all at Church of Ireland run schools, and that's a very significant gap. And I really hope now that the Commission of Investigation sets that up and it focuses on any schools that were operated by religious or voluntary organisations and funded by the state here in Ireland.
Meanwhile, the Finance Minister believes religious institutions should make a contribution to any redress scheme established in relation to historical sexual abuse. His views echo victims' support groups. Minister Jack Chambers says religious institutions should contribute to a redress scheme.
Obviously, government will discuss the recommendations and the redress scheme, but I think generally there should be a contribution made by religious institutions for any redress scheme which might come from this process, and they should be part of that.
A potential tragedy has been averted in Donegal after refuge collectors discovered a man sleeping in an industrial bin in the early hours of yesterday morning. Workers from Panda discovered the rough sleeper inside a large industrial bin outside a commercial premises in Letterkenny at around 5:30 a.m. yesterday. It's the first known instance of such an occurrence in Letterkenny. Nicole Brown, manager of Panda Donegal, says were it not for the safety protocols in place, it could have been a very different outcome.
Our crew was out as normal, lifting their commercial waste whenever they came across an 1,100 litre bin, which for a lot of people might know what this is, but it's an industrial bin for commercial customers. And they have a procedure that they follow, that they hit each side of the bin before they empty the bin, just in case there's someone in the bin. Doesn't normally happen here in Letterkenny, but in the city in Dublin, other depots of ours would see this more common. And they opened the bin and they seen like a knee sitting up. So they pulled the blanket back and there was a fella in the bin, which scared, I suppose, both of them.
Hypothetically, if they weren't as thorough as they are, that bin's loaded and tipped straight in. Yeah. What could have been the consequences?
Well, if that fella hadn't have, really, if he had continued to sleep, that bin could have went to the lorry and could have went in. Now, there is emergency stops on the lorry, but sometimes it could be too late. You know, it could have ended a different way. Thankfully, okay. They do follow procedure.
The director of Derry's Holywell Trust says a report on the economy of the Northwest City region published yesterday can play a major role in ensuring that the debate on the future of Northern Ireland is informed by facts. The research commissioned by the Trust has found that labour market integration problems, poor public transport and weak infrastructure are among the significant challenges facing the Northwest economy. Holywell director Gerard Dean says as discussions on Northern Ireland's constitutional future intensify, this study will make a very important contribution to the process.
The rationale behind the piece is that we're having a conversation about the future relationships on this island, and we're looking at the constitutional question. People are asking us about the economics of it, and one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we're having a fact-based conversation when it comes to the difficult issue. Will there be United Ireland status quo or whatever? We don't have a preferred position on it, but what we are really concerned about is having a fact-based conversation that might inform any future poll that might come.
One of the key things that emerged, as well as the transport issues that are obviously high on everybody's agenda, issues of mutual recognition of skills and qualifications, the ongoing day-to-day economic relations, there are barriers there. They could all be addressed now.
Yeah, here's hoping. One of the things that we were doing is highlighting what some of the challenges are so that they can be addressed by those that need to address them. I think Brexit makes it even more difficult than it already was, because all those issues that you've talked about are probably pre-existing the Brexit decision. We would encourage collaboration on a cross-border basis in order to get this place functioning as a proper economic region.
Are you getting any sense from Stormont, from Westminster and indeed from Dublin that there is a political will there to make that happen? It's got to involve all three.
It does, for sure. It's a lot bigger than Holywell Trust, I can tell you that. Any solution's going to take looking at infrastructure, both sides of the border. It's going to take support probably from the EU as well. You know, so there's four players, I would say, that are going to be part of this conversation. And I think that there's a recognition that for too long this region has been top of all the wrong tables, and there really needs to be something done to address that.
A former minister with responsibility for the Office of Public Works says people are rightly annoyed about the cost of the Leinster House bike shed. Higher Education Minister Patrick O'Donovan says he first heard about the €335,000 cost when the news broke in the media. The current OPW Minister Kieran O'Donnell has requested a report into the matter. Minister O'Donovan says the spend was extravagant and supports calls for a report.
I'm sure that there was other ways of making sure that there was a bike stand put into Leinster House. You can buy these off of the shelf in many cases. You can buy bike stands off of the shelf. I don't even think in many cases some of the bike stands that I see as I travel around the country are sheltered. Most of the shelter is provided by a person putting a plastic bag over the saddle. That's what we used to always do going to school. I don't see why that wouldn't have done in this situation.
Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty, meanwhile, claims previous calls to rein in the OPW have been ignored.
We're back in Leinster House today, and many people have been asking about this famous bike shed. So here it is in all its glory, €336,000 of your taxpayers' money spent on this bike shelter. It is absolutely a disgrace. This is your money. This is waste. This needs to stop, and it's not the first time we've called out the OPW time and time again in relation to the waste. We've asked the minister to rein them in, and nothing has happened.
Taoiseach Simon Harris has paid tribute to the resilience of the Ukrainian people as he visited regions that were destroyed during the early stages of Russia's invasion. Simon Harris is in Kyiv for a bilateral meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The Irish government also announced a new €36 million funding package from Irish aid to partner organisations. Speaking earlier, Simon Harris said Ireland will stand with the brave people of Ukraine as long as it takes.
I also want to discuss directly with the President, with the Prime Minister, with other leaders, how Ireland can continue to help from a humanitarian point of view. We are pledging an additional €36 million in 2024, along with €7 million into the European Investment Bank. And this is to assist with a whole variety of projects around infrastructure, but also around humanitarian needs.
A young Donegal man with autism and cerebral palsy who started college this week has faced a setback when his specialised HSE bus transportation was unexpectedly cancelled just 3 days before the start of term. Oisin, who turned 18 over the summer, has found the transition to adult services challenging. It's understood that he is one of around 40 individuals affected by the delay, with no alternative transportation options currently offered. His mother, Tanya, told Greg Hughes in the 9 till noon show earlier that the bus was going to be the only familiarity for Oisin starting the new term.
So I believe that the process has started. I did try to contact the offices directly on Thursday and Friday, and nobody would speak to me. They said that they were too busy to actually have a conversation with me. I did speak to the HSE transport coordinator, who was working directly with SIT. So Oisin was part of Bus Éireann for 14 years when he went to Little Angels.
Yeah.
And we never had an issue. His bus came for 14 years in the morning and in the afternoon on time, took him to school. And that was going to be the only familiarity for him attending day services, is that he would go on his bus That would be his morning routine, his afternoon routine, and we're all over the place at the minute. So it's so stressful. We don't know how long it's going to take. I asked the question, are they going to provide funding for transport if I was to get a wheelchair taxi? It's not just a matter that I can phone somebody that's passing my house going up the road. Can he have a lift? It is not that simple. And it's just not fair. I don't have the words to express my anger. I couldn't speak on the phone on Thursday to the coordinator, and she called me back on Friday. She said, I know you were distressed yesterday. How are you today? I was still distressed. I still couldn't talk to her. I just cannot comprehend how they could let this happen to families in this situation.
Well, a short time ago, the HSE confirmed that formal contractual transport arrangements will be provided for those attending disability day service units in Donegal within the next 3 weeks. In the interim, it says local arrangements, as agreed with the service user and their families, will be put in place. In a statement, the HSE apologised to service users and their families who have been affected. It adds that a number of factors have resulted in delays in fulfilling some transport requests. The Ombudsman for Children is calling on the government to improve its forward planning for special education facilities in schools. It comes as 126 children with special educational needs have no school place for this year. The Office for the Ombudsman has created a list of recommendations for the Department for Education, including increased teacher training and engagement with the HSE. Ombudsman Dr. Niall Muldoon says the government needs to act urgently.
We don't seem to be getting ahead of the problem, and my concern is that the department are hesitating and going slowly so that they don't end up with what they call an oversupply of teachers and classes, because the population is going to come down a little bit. In reality, we should be preparing for all of those classes and all of those staffing, and then use that as part of our drive towards an inclusive education system that allows all children to be in mainstream.
The Inishowen Municipal District is seeking a meeting with the National Parks and Wildlife Service to discuss a ban on building in certain areas. Members were told that in rural coastal areas such as Malin Head, young people and families are being denied planning because a survey on corncrake numbers is taking place over the next year. It follows the extension last year of a special area of conservation aimed at protecting the threatened bird. Councillor Martin McDermott told members that permission is being denied, even if people commission their own surveys, which shows there are no corncrakes on their land.
That special area of conservation, as you know, was extended last year to a wider area by European law, which was brought in that extended that. That is having major implications for planning, in particular in Malin Head, where we have the corncrake. There's a survey that's been done at the minute. That survey won't be finished until late 2025, with a report coming out at some point in 2026. The department are giving clear guidance to the council at the minute that no planning will be granted in any of those areas until that survey is complete. We feel that that's very unfair. Families that went for planning permission and got ecologists to come in and do a report on their land, the corncrake is not on their land. That's not been accepted anymore until this wider study is completed. And we're looking to meet with National Parks and Wildlife and the department as well.
Your fear is that if permission isn't given to someone to build on what very often is going to be their own family land, then they'll go elsewhere, they'll go to a town, they'll go to an urban area, and if they go, they may not come back.
Well, they'll have no choice. You know, families, that particularly young people that get married and have children and they have to get somewhere to live, and we never get them back. That's where the decline in our schools and our centres and community centres start. And we can't have that situation escalate, particularly around the whole of our rural communities and particularly around the whole of our coastal communities, which is vulnerable at the moment anyway.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with the Paralympics. It's been a good day for Donegal competitors in Paris. Firstly, Kitty George Dunleavy and pilot Linda Kelly won Ireland's first gold off the Games. They were quickest in today's women's B individual time trial cycling, covering 28.3 kilometres in a time of 38 minutes, 16.58 seconds. It's the third Paralympics running that Dunleavy has won the event, and it's her second medal of these games. Today's gold brings Dunleavy's personal Paralympic medal tally to 7, and she was asked afterwards where she gets her drive from.
I've always had challenges, you know, even when I had the collarbone there, it's just, I've been had challenges all my life of it, learning to lose, you know, learning to deal with sight loss, and I've had many challenges. I'm gay as well, so I've had to deal with that, and, like, you know, that was hard when I was younger. Now I'm absolutely fine with it now, but, you know, as a child and as a teenager, I really struggled with it, and, yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think it's just strength within.
Elsewhere, Damien Vereker and his pilot from Donegal, Mitchell McLaughlin, were in the men's B individual time trial. They came home seventh place in a time of 36.31.09. They will be back in competition again on Friday when they compete in the Paracycling Road Race. To football, Heimir Hallgrímsson still has a full Republic of Ireland squad training ahead of Saturday's Nations League opener with England. Seamus Coleman and Andrew Obamadeli missed yesterday's sessions but were cleared to resume today. Assistant boss John O'Shea says there's been great clarity in Hallgrímsson's management style so far.
Most importantly, it's been good for the players to see what he's about. Obviously, as you mentioned, getting to know him the last few weeks, being here in Abbottstown, going out to games, and you're just talking about ideas. But I think in terms of the most important thing for me is I know he's a very good manager, he's a very good coach.
An extra time goal from Kerry Littman secured Piemont's place in the round one final of the Women's Champions League. Earlier today, they beat Dynamo Minsk by 2-1 to progress to the next stage of the competition. While Galway United will look to increase the pressure on the top two in the Women's Premier Division tonight, they welcome Treaty United to Emondese Park, where the kick-off there is at 7.30. Now, to Gaelic Games, Malachy O'Rourke appears to have a clear path to the Tyrone football manager's job. Currently in charge of reigning All-Ireland club champions Glen, O'Rourke has been nominated for the Red Hand role by his home club Errigal Kearn. The next Tyrone County Board meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday, and it's reported today that it's expected O'Rourke's appointment will be confirmed next week. To cricket, it's the final week of interprovincial action for the North West Warriors. Today at Brady, the Warriors host the Munster Reds in a T20 fixture. The hosts won the toss and elected to bat, and a short time ago they finished on 131 runs for the loss of 6 wickets. The Reds' innings is coming up shortly. Sides will meet again tomorrow as well in a 50-over fixture also at Brady. Finally in tennis, the meeting of the men's top seed and former champion is the pick of tonight's US Open quarterfinals. Yannick Sinner takes on 2021 champion Daniil Medvedev in the last match of the night on Arthur Ashe. Before that, Jake Draper plays the 10th seed Alex de Minaur. Action gets underway at Flushing Meadow with the meeting of Beatrice Haddad-Maia and Caroline Mokova. And number one women's seed Iga Shevnatek was up against Jessica Pegula. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Michaela, we'll have more tomorrow morning after the 30 news.
Thanks, Aisin. And returning to some news, one school bus provider has threatened to pull their service on a West Donegal route due to overgrown hedges. Damage was caused to a bus during a school run this morning as a result of the overgrown vegetation. Safety concerns have repeatedly been raised, particularly in rural parts of the county, due to hedges impeding visibility, with children on occasions being forced to walk on the road due to overgrown hedges. With hedge cutting season now underway again, Councillor Michael McLafferty is urging landowners to take responsibility.
Everybody blames Donegal County Council, but unfortunately the reality is here, Donald, the responsibility does lie with the landowner. They're one end of a situation where these school children don't get lifted because of hedges growing out and clipping the bus and hitting the bus and so on. These buses are all hugely expensive vehicles that all these reputable bus companies throughout Donegal, and we have dozens and dozens of them to repair all through the place. But at the same time, more than any other vehicle, bus, car, lorry alike, we don't want them on roads either. We don't expect them to go down roads where hedges or trees are growing out. It's coming to a head this morning that it may result in this particular stretch of road, the school children not being lifted. Just putting out an appeal to all landowners alike. We're in the 3rd, 4th September now at the minute. We can all cut hedges to our heart's content now up to March again. And I will say to all landowners around the Glenties MD and beyond to please employ a hedge cutter. We've been talking about this for years and years. And while we're talking about it, no action is happening. The roads are getting more closed in. Everything's just getting overgrown and we're getting into a whole mess.
The final report into the Grenfell Tower fire in London has found all 72 deaths were avoidable and those that lived in the tower block were badly failed by authorities and the construction industry. Irish company Kingspan has been named in the report as one of a number of groups accused of systematic dishonesty. It says it has long acknowledged the wholly unacceptable historical failings that occurred in part of its UK insulation business. Claire Bode reports.
The report said decades of failure by multiple bodies are responsible for the Grenfell Tower fire 7 years ago. The report chair, Martin Morbick, listed all those who shared some responsibility, including the government, the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, tenant management, the manufacturers of materials and London Fire Brigade.
Not all of them bear the same degree of responsibility for the eventual disaster, but as our reports show, all contributed to it in one way or another. In most cases through incompetence, but in some cases through dishonesty and greed.
Speaking after the release of the report, members of Grenfell United said justice still hasn't been done and called on the Crown Prosecution Services to bring forward criminal charges for those responsible.
With an eye mix of cloud and sunny spells today with passing showers, cool with highest temperatures of 13 to 15 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The Diocese of Raphoe has today acknowledged the publication of the scoping inquiry into reported historical sexual abuse at schools run by religious orders. The inquiry, which involved over 2,400 allegations against 884 alleged abusers at more than 300 schools named St Louis Girls Convent National School in Bundoran and De La Salle Secondary School in Ballyshannon, among the institutions implicated. A potential tragedy has been averted in Donegal after refuge collectors discovered a man sleeping in an industrial bin in the early hours of yesterday morning. Workers from Panda discovered the rough sleeper inside a large industrial bin outside a commercial premises in Letterkenny at around 5:30 a.m. yesterday. A young Donegal man with autism and cerebral palsy who started college this week has faced a setback when his specialised HSE bus transportation was unexpectedly cancelled just 3 days before the start of the term. Oisin, who turned 18 over the summer, has found the transition to adult services challenging already. And as you heard, one school bus provider has threatened to pull their service on a route in West Donegal due to overgrown hedges. Damage was caused to a bus during a school run this morning as a result of overgrown vegetation. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 4th of September. The death has taken place of Mary Ellen Bonner, Glasgow, formerly of Crickamore, Dunloe. Funeral will take place in Glasgow on Tuesday, the 17th of September, in the Blessed John Dunscottis Parish Church, followed by burial in St Peter's Cemetery, Dalbeth. The death has occurred in Glasgow of Mary Conaghan, née Gallagher, formerly of Ballybalother, Trenta. Mary's remains will repose at her daughter Marie and Dan McDay's residence, Doonleib, New Mills, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow, with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 in St Columba's Church, Glenswilly, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Garton Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on raphoediocese.ie. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Henry Dlacken, Tuberkeen, Dunloe. Henry's remains are reposing at Madeline's funeral home this evening with rosary at 8 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 2 with rosary again at 8. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Dunloe Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Sean Madlin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Michael Gallagher, Drumcannon, Crossroads, Killigordon, reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 20 past 1 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Killigordon Parish YouTube channel. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Susan Kearse Marsh, Banner House, Gortree, Newton Cunningham. Susan will repose at her late residence until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral cortege from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral. The Mass can be viewed on newtonkillayparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Cancer Care West or Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Kevin Breslin, Glendalough House, Granshire Road, Buncrana. Kevin's remains will repose at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:25, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.